Chapter 11, Questions and Answers. In all her years of teaching, 17 in total, Mrs. Marlowe had never walked into a quieter classroom full of students. It was a new experience for her. It was also new for the kids. Dave watched Mrs. Marlowe go to the front of the room and pick up her attendance book. The teacher looked at the list of names in the book, looked up and down the rows of the class, looked at the book again, and said, "I thought maybe I was in the wrong room. Pretty quiet in here today. Can someone tell me why?" No hands went up. But Mrs. Marlowe was watching for anything that might give her a clue about this unusual behavior. And after her question, she saw a few sly glances between kids, and she noticed some of them trying to hide a smile. She knew what those looks and smiles meant. These kids were keeping a secret. Time for her first experiment. Looking over the class, Mrs. Marlowe settled her eyes on Seth Townsend, smiled, and said, "So, Seth, did you do your science homework last night?" With no hesitation, Seth smiled back and said, "Yes, I did." Mrs. Marlowe looked at Amy Gilson and said, "How about you, Amy?" She nodded and said, "It was hard." "Really? What did you think was hard about it?" she asked. Amy scrunched up her face and then said, "Too much math." Her answer got a lot of nods and a few laughs from the other kids, but then it went completely quiet again. Mrs. Marlowe couldn't get over how beautifully these children were behaving. Just yesterday, she had asked one student a question, and about 15 others had blurted out answers. And then the whole class began arguing. And that had started a huge free-for-all that didn't end until she banged on her desk with a book. It was always like that with this class, and with the other fifth grade classes too. But not today. No one talked at all, unless she asked a question, which gave Mrs. Marlowe an idea. "Please get out your homework sheets." There was a lot of rustling and bustling as the students obeyed. "Now," she said, "Ellen, look at problem number one. How did you decide if the given quantities were reasonable?" Ellen rifled through her papers, and the look on her face surprised Mrs. Marlowe. Ellen looked scared. It was one of the standard questions about science problems, a question the whole class was used to, but the girl seemed completely confused. Mrs. Marlowe could see that she'd done the assignment. Plus, Ellen was one of the best science students. What was she so scared about? After a few moments of what looked like absolute panic, Ellen calmed down. Then, very slowly, she said, "The numbers worked." Mrs. Marlowe waited for the rest of her explanation. It didn't come. "Right," she said, and... "I made estimates," Ellen said. Again, her words came slowly. And then there was another long pause. "And," the teacher urged, "I used math." Mrs. Marlowe nodded. "Of course you used math, but I want to hear about your process, your thinking." Ellen said, "I did comparing." Frustrated, Mrs. Marlowe turned to the other side of the room. "Dave, tell us the answer you got for problem one and explain your process." Dave didn't look scared, but he also took a long time to respond. Too long for Mrs. Marlowe. She said, "I'd like your answer today, Mr. Packer." Slowly, Dave said, 440. 440 what? Prompted Mrs. Marlowe. "Barrels of oil," said Dave, slowly. "Per," said Mrs. Marlowe. Dave said, "Per day." "Wrong," said Mrs. Marlowe. "Look at your work and tell me what you forgot." She was losing her patience. Dave frowned and squinted at his paper. He nodded and then slowly said, "The first day?" A ripple of giggles swept through the room. Girl giggles. Mrs. Marlowe snapped. "Since when did wrong answers become funny?" The science teacher thought, "Are they all pretending to be stupid today? Is that it?" Whatever was going on, she didn't like it. It was disruptive. It was slowing down her class. It was annoying. And suddenly, Mrs. Marlowe was in no mood for games. She was not going to play along. If these kids wanted quiet, then that's what they were going to get. She glared around the room. Pass in your papers. Everyone obeyed without a word. Open to chapter 4 and read. The homework is on the board. The next 34 minutes in the science room passed in complete silence, except for the rustle of paper and an occasional cough or sniffle. And sitting at her desk, Mrs. Marlowe had to admit that she enjoyed the quiet, enjoyed not having to fight the battle of the mouth every second with these kids. The unshushables were completely shushed. All right, very weird. But the science teacher wasn't any closer to figuring out why the kids were acting this way. Dave felt something hit his arm and then drop onto his leg. It was a note. He glanced at Mrs. Marlowe. All clear. So he slowly reached down, picked up the note, and unfolded it. You said, the first day. Counts as a word. So you said four. And you cost the boys one whole point. Loser. Ha ha, Lindsay. Dave knew Lindsay was sitting two seats back on his left. And he knew she was waiting for him to turn around so she could give him a sickly, sweet little smile. So he didn't turn around, but he felt the tops of his ears getting pink. And he began thinking of a million things he wished he could say to her. All sorts of clever insults, like, if brains were money, you'd be broke. Or, wow, you can count to four. Or, I had a pet turtle that. Mr. Packer, bring it here. Dave snapped to attention and looked up to see Mrs. Marlowe staring at him, holding out her hand. Putting on his best, innocent face, Dave said, what? The note. Here. As Dave walked up and dropped the note into Mrs. Marlowe's hand, the bell rang. Mrs. Marlowe tucked the paper into her pocket and then stood up quickly. Because when the bell rang, she had to hurry out her door and try to maintain law and order in the hallway between classes. But of course, there was no need for the corridor police, not today. Mrs. Marlowe watched all the fifth graders move from room to room, smiling, waving, making faces, nodding at each other. There were a few laughs and whistles, and she heard Tyler Rennert make a loud snort in the general direction of some girls, but there was no talking. She looked across the hall and caught Mrs. Escobar's eye, and they both smiled and then shrugged at each other. And since there wasn't any patrol work to do, Mrs. Marlowe reached into her pocket and pulled out the captured note. And she read it. For a logical person like Mrs. Marlowe, Lindsay's note to Dave was like the Rosetta Stone, a key that helped her begin to understand what she had seen and heard on the playground and then in her classroom. So, this whole thing was something about counting words. More than three words resulted in a penalty, which explained all those short answers from Ellen and Dave. And it was the boys against the girls. Nothing new about that, not with this group. And they were all trying to keep quiet. Mrs. Marlowe remembered the jinx game from her own school years, when two people said the same word at the same time and then had to keep quiet. Maybe it was like that. Except this wasn't two people. It was more than 125 of the most talkative children on planet Earth. As chunks of the puzzle began to fall into place, Mrs. Marlowe immediately thought, the others are going to love this. She meant the other teachers. But then her scientific curiosity kicked in, and she thought, why spoil the kids' experiment? And I should really let the other teachers figure things out on their own. And of course, my preliminary findings could be wrong. I should certainly gather more data before I present my theory to the scholarly community. And as Mrs. Marlowe chuckled at her private joke, she said to herself, kids.